Well, we certainly appreciate Roger's very good presentation on this topic, and this is a very very practical issue. It's something that certainly we all hear on a daily basis with those who are around at work or at school. It's something that we all encounter, and we need to know more about how to deal with these things, how to think about these things, and then, of course, how to control them in our own lives. So greatly appreciate your presentation. At this time, we're going to open it up for questions and comments pertinent to the topic at hand to those who are brethren, those who are baptized believers and are men of the congregation. So if you have a question, please raise your hand and Brother Landon will give you the mic. A.K. Richardson.
Sometimes there are Bible words that in modern times take on inappropriate use by some people, especially from the King James. I know a guy, he's a religious-minded guy. He will not say the word hell, even in a biblical context. He'll spell it. He'll say H-E-L-L. And so could you comment on that, on sometimes Bible words and an inappropriate use and how we should approach that?
Well, I don't have my big comment, but I would just say, even me, from the pulpit, there have been times in my life where I had a hard time saying H-E-L-L. I had to get over that. It's a Bible word. And so I think I can say that word. I can quote it from the Bible. I can use it, but I can't use it as an exclamatory. An exclamatory, I hit my thumb and I say, you know, I take that biblical word and I use it as an exclamatory. I don't think that's right. So in its biblical context, we can use the word hell. You see that my voice quiets down. Maybe that's from when I was a boy. You don't say that word, you know. But you have to learn to say words that are biblical. And that's what I think about that. I don't think we can use them out of context as exclamatories. I don't think in that particular word we could use it as a curse. I think the Bible in Romans 12 says, do not curse, and we couldn't curse someone. So there are times we can't use that word. Other words, I think we can use them in their Bible context. I think we talked a little bit about Philippians 3:18. I think if the old King James said dung, and that's not, I don't know if that has a lot of negative. There are other words that have worse, you know, on that subject, but the word rubbish from the New King James or the New American Standard is a better translation of that word there.
Brother Wall in the back.
Thank you, brother. I really appreciate that. That was a very timely lesson. My question, well, I have three of them, but they're really intertwined questions.
Did you say three?
My question, three. But about a week ago, I was in Tulsa shearing some sheep for a lady, and her son was out there with me. And he's working, I'm working, I'm there for the sole purpose of working. As he's catching the sheep, he's not very good at it, and he's just pouring out filthy language and just taking the Lord's name in vain over and over. And so my first question is, do you have guidelines on that? The second is, suppose on my way home, I'm wanting to catch up on the news. I didn't, but suppose I turn the radio on and I'm listening to that for just catching up on the news, and I hear lots of filthy language. What are your guidelines on that? And the third would be, suppose just for entertainment, I turn some music on and it has filthy language in that. Is that wrong? And what are your guidelines on that?
We live in the world, and we can't come out of the world, and God doesn't intend for us to come out of the world. He intends us for us to remain in the world and be the light of the world. How you deal with that guy next to you who is using all kinds of filthy language is a matter of wisdom for you, you know. My wife works under a man who often uses bad language. He's the head of the warehouse and she works there. And she tries to talk, every once in a while she'll talk to him and he may say something, then he slips right back into it. It's a part of their, it's ingrained in who they are almost. And you're probably not going to stop them. I believe your example of not using that is the best thing that you can do. You may talk to them from time to time. You know the relationship that you have with that person better than I do. You may talk to them. I don't think we can come out of the world, and we're going to have to live in a world where we are around people who use filthy language. And we acknowledge that sometimes the language of the people around us rubs off on us. And we don't want that to happen. And we may find it happening. And we may have to ask God's forgiveness. I think the real problem is not that you ever heard something that was bad. It's that it may rub off on you. And that's the problem. What was the second illustration used there? The what? The news?
The radio.
The radio? Well, if you have the right to turn that off, and you should turn it off. Television. It's pretty hard to watch much broadcast television these days without having bad language in it, filthy language. You have the right to turn it off. You ought to. What was the third one?
Yeah, okay. That kind of put the two together. One was the radio for educational purposes, and the other one was simply for entertainment.
You mean, might there be a difference between entertainment, huh? Well, there might be.
Aubrey Smith and then Alan Bonifay.
You mentioned exclamatory language, shouldn't use the Lord's name in that way, or certain biblical words or words with certain connotations. I just wondered if you have any comments on words that maybe don't have such a negative connotation, or are you against using exclamatory language in general? I know some people that are.
Well, I'm not. When I hit my thumb, ah, is what comes out of my mouth. I don't know if that's language, but that's a purposeful. I have a purposeful call whenever I do something like hit my thumb. It's not actually a word. It's just an because I think I can get away with that without offending anyone. I'm not especially. What could I say? Ow! You know, there's all kinds of. I'm not against exclamatories. In general, I'm not going to say that I am. This gets into euphemisms a little bit. I'm thinking, I hit my thumb and I say, oh my! I don't know if that would offend anyone, but it doesn't offend me. I don't know if it offends anyone. But that's an exclamatory. And there's words like that that really aren't meant to replace a name of God or a spiritual word. I don't have anything against generally exclamatories, but we do need to be careful that we don't use spiritual words as our exclamatory words.
Alan Bonifay.
Good job, Roger. Just a couple of things. I don't think you addressed this, everybody would. Well, my family will laugh if they hear me suggest this, but people need to be careful about text abbreviations. OMG is taking God's name in vain. And there are other such abbreviations that Christians have no business using. And you just need to be careful about that. And sometimes on these exclamations and things, sometimes people might be saying something they really shouldn't. They don't know that it means something else. And I don't know if that's a sin or not, but when they find out what it means, they should stop using it. And I could give some examples, but Ron Quarter said not to give any examples in this talk.
Hang on to your examples.
Yeah. One other thing, this is a side note to what all you were saying, but you mentioned this under coarse jesting, and I think it's something that we should think about, not just relative to this topic, but many topics where we are trying to figure out what a word means. And you talked about coarse jesting. I can't remember exactly what you said, but etymologically or historically, it meant something, a well-turned phrase, I think you said. But by the time the New Testament is written, it means coarse jesting because the language has changed. It's very, very dangerous to be defining Bible phrases based upon etymology of a word. For instance, the word psalo once meant to pluck a stringed instrument. But by New Testament days, it didn't mean that, and nobody translates it that way. It meant to sing by New Testament times. And that's the proper definition of the term, not the old classical Greek historical definition. And we need to be careful about that in general on many Bible topics.
It's interesting to find another word that is like that. That's what coarse jesting is. It's a word that had a meaning, and its meaning deteriorated through time.
Any other questions? Have time for one more. If not, we'll just wrap it up early then. Roger, do you have any closing thoughts or comments?
No. As I came to the close of this, I did think, wow, a good title for a lesson is Every Idle Word. Thank you.